And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday, July 10th, 1:09 in the afternoon, and temperatures outside, depending where you're at, only in the 70s in the Northern Valley, Northwest Minnesota, while we're in the mid-80s from the 94 corridor southward. That's due to some showers and thunder showers along and north of Highway 2. Those are moving generally eastward, so moving over towards Thief River. There's a stronger cell just south of Thief River right now, moving generally to the east and southeast, so most of it's staying between Thief River and Fertile, and around the Grand Forks area, seeing some showers this afternoon as well. But again, that's going to stay well north of the FM area. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, and we have a special guest today. Emma Gullix is filling in for Bridget. Welcome, Emma.
Yes, thank you, Dean.
You're not a stranger to the show.
No, I have been here before, so I'm excited to be back.
Awesome. Well, good to have you back. So for anybody that hasn't, that didn't catch you last time you were on our show, give us a little background about yourself.
So, yep, like Dean said, my name is Emma Gullix. I am originally from Galesburg, North Dakota, grew up on a family farm. My dad farms, and I am going to be a junior this fall at NDSU, going into my third year and studying crop and weed science. So that's big thing coming up that I'm almost halfway done and going to start the new year here pretty soon. But
awesome.
Yeah.
What's your goal after you graduate?
Yeah, you asked me this before the show, and I guess right now is being a full-time agronomist. That's kind of my area. I've been working for a company the last couple years in the agronomy side, and that's what I really enjoy. So that's kind of the plan right now. But I guess we can always see where it goes. You never know.
It gives you great experience. Yeah. Just when you think you're like, all right, this is what I want to do. And then after you graduate, some other job comes calling and it's like, oh man, you want to stick around close to the area?
Yeah, that's my plan. Kind of get back to my hometown. I mean, as much as Fargo's a big city, that's definitely not for me. I mean,
oh, that's all right.
I definitely like the farm life and community back home. So that's kind of the plan.
Good deal. Well, you're a bright and up and coming star. So I know Bridget would not have had you back to fill in for Bridget if she didn't think so. So
thank you.
Again, thanks for filling in for Bridget. We've got some pretty decent weather that's coming our way as we head into the weekend. We've got to get there first, though. And we're looking at temperatures out there right now into well, it depends where you're at. 70s in the Northern Valley, and like I said, we're in the mid-80s here in the FM area, and we'll see mostly sunny skies here in the FM area with a few showers and thunder showers along and north of Highway 2 this afternoon. We'll have highs in right around the 90-degree mark in the Central and Southern Valley, and hanging in the 80s in the far Northern Valley due to the cloud cover and scattered storms. And then overnight tonight, we'll have a cold front approaching from the west. It's really not going to do a whole lot. It's not even going to make it into the valley. But out ahead of it, we could see an isolated shower or thunder shower with lows in the upper 60s. So a muggy night tonight with south winds about 10 to 20. And then Friday, we'll see clouds sticking up and we'll see scattered showers, maybe a few embedded thunder showers with highs in the low 80s. And then the weekend looks great. Like I said, partly cloudy to mostly sunny Saturday and Sunday. Highs around 80 on Saturday, and then summer heat returns as we head into Sunday with highs into the upper 80s. It looks like we'll poke into the 90s as we head into Monday of next week, and then a pretty strong cold front is expected to trigger off storms, and some of those could be on the strong side Monday late in the day and into Tuesday as well, as highs slip back into the 70s for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So a brief cool down next week. Morning lows are going to be really, really nice into the 50s, so pleasantly cool weather heading our way for next week. It'll only last a few days as we bounce right back up. So summer is definitely here. Speaking of, you said your mom and dad farm. What do they have this year? What are they planting this year?
Yeah, so my dad farms up by Sharon with his brothers, and they put in soybeans, wheat, and corn. And so we were lucky enough up there to kind of escape the weather, but where I work, it's been brutal this year.
Has it, like wind and hail damage?
Yep, a lot of wind damage, and we had guys coming in for replants, you know, end of June, start of July, and it's devastating to see. And then this last week, we actually got just a small burst of hail out there, too, and Cannot catch a break, it seems like, this year for these guys.
Yeah, it's been a pretty tough year in terms of the past few years in terms of severe weather up here. We've had to deal with it with the last three Fridays. We've had either wind or hail events.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it'll be nice to see some more mellow weather coming in here for this weekend. But we're not done with severe weather season. I've had a few people ask me, when does the stormy part, when does the stormy part of the LRC cycle come back? And mark your calendars for the very end of this month, so the 29th, 30th, and then the first 10 days in August, we're going to have another, that's the stormy part of the LRC cycle, where, again, more severe weather is expected up in our area for that time frame as well. And then we'll mellow things out as we head into mid-August, thankfully. So not a bad-looking forecast, like I said, as we head into the upcoming weekend. A little bit of precip before that. And again, we could still use a little bit of precip as we're about a half inch below normal here in the FM area. And overall, since May, temperatures have averaged a little bit above normal. So we're pretty close in terms of precip and a little bit above normal in terms of temperatures. Now, Bridget was saying, you know, corn was kind of a little bit behind. How did it look on your family farm?
Yeah. So start of the season, it was looking a little scary out there. But then once we got into this warmer weather, we were getting pretty timely rains out there. It's really shot up in the last couple of weeks, and it's honestly probably the best looking crop out there with all the beans. I mean, depending on the area you're in, but I think a lot of people are probably surprised with how it's shot up and how it's been looking this last couple of weeks.
Awesome. Awesome. Good deal. Well, we're going to hit up on a break right now. When we come back, though, we are going to have a returning guest, Angie Johnson, from NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist. So if you have any questions for me or for Angie, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Our sponsor for today is Tech Support Farm. Technology is supposed to help your farm and ranch. If you have any technology questions about how to make your farm and ranch run better, contact Chris at Tech Support DOT Farm. And so today we have our guest Angie Johnson, who is the NDSU Farm and Ranch Safety Specialist, with us.
That's right. Angie, welcome back.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Isn't it? I feel like a third wheel here. We've got two ag experts, and here's me. I'm just gonna ride the wave here with you two lovely ladies.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we could talk for hours, so no worries there. Both Galesburg natives, so it's pretty awesome.
Right. Well, Emma, you have a couple of questions there for Angie.
Yeah. So Angie, I know one of the big things you wanted to talk about today was the RF Dash training. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that coming up here July 19th?
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for bringing that up, Emma. So yeah, the RF Dash, which stands for Rural Firefighters Delivering Agriculture Safety and Health. So it's a long title, why we give it the RF Dash nickname, but it's really a training that's focused for rural firefighters, extension agents, county EMS, and of course, farmers and ranchers. And the whole point of this training is to really look at the prevention side instead of oftentimes, you know, in emergency situations, the specialized training is for rescue, right? And this specific program is designed to really focus on prevention. So what are the things that we can do on our farms and ranches to prevent different agricultural related injuries and fatalities? And so you are spot on. Saturday, July 19th, out at the John Hagel Farm near Aminia/Castleton, out in that rural area, it's going to be hands-on demonstration and actually farm walk around. So we're going to be able to look and find the hazards that may be on John's farm and talk about how do we remedy these? How do we put some prevention based science behind it to prevent potential injuries in the future? It's going to be a great day. It might be a little warm, but hey, it's any day is a good day for farm safety education.
And that's the 19th, right, Angie?
That is correct. Yep. Saturday, July 19th.
It does look hot. It does look hot that
thanks.
Weekend.
I figured you were going to say that.
Yep, it does. In fact, because I'm going on vacation. We're going south into Nebraska, and it's going to be 95 to 100 down there. And you guys will probably be in the 90s up here. So, yeah. But hey,
oh, perfect. We'll be
okay.
Cool while you're hot. So.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, Angie, you just had recently farm safety camps for kids. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we wrapped up at what was it? The second week of June. We wrapped those up, and we had a great year. We had 43 kids total. 46 kids total in all between all three camps. So we were in Fargo, Williston, and Bismarck this year. So really making our net big and capturing youth from all across the state of North Dakota.
And what do you guys cover, and what's the age group?
Oh my gosh, how many hours do you have?
I know, right?
So we, you know, Emma was actually a participant way back in the day, and unfortunately she didn't get the cool fun version that we do now, but she got to beta test some of the things, and so we kind of took it to the next level. We used to really just focus on tractor-specific safety, and now we encompass the entire farm because we know and realize that these teenagers, they're not just driving tractor. They're working with livestock. They're operating equipment. They might have to do farm first aid. And so we cover everything from fire extinguisher training to what do you do if your equipment touches a power line. So we work with electric co-ops and fire departments to offer those types of emergency trainings. We do stop the bleed training. And then, of course, the tractor operation, skid.
Are we on air still, or did we just totally all right, Angie, do you have her number? Give her a call there, or all right, well, tell you what, let's go to break. We just lost all computer function here, and we thought today wasn't going to be a train wreck compared to yesterday with all the computer malfunctions. So Addison, let's take an early break. When we come back, we're going to try and reconnect with Angie and continue our discussion. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We got the equipment back up and running, and Angie, apologize for that. We just lost you in mid-sentence. So
we were, it's all right. I thought it was me, so I'm grateful it wasn't my internet.
So we were talking about the camp for kids, if you can remember where you left off, why don't we continue with that, where we were at there?
Yeah, no, sounds good. So yeah, it was asked, you know, what types of things are taught at our farm safety camps, and we've really grown beyond just tractor training, and so we've incorporated skid steers. We have kids actually practice baling using a little mini round baler, and so the whole point of that is to get them to actually use the power takeoff or the PTO controls, the hydraulic controls, and get an understanding. You know, it's one thing for us to talk and show, but it's another thing for them to actually see everything in motion and how it all works together. And so we also do fire extinguisher training. So we work with rural fire departments to come out and do that training, as well as electric co-ops come out and talk about what to do if you hit a power line with a piece of equipment, farm first aid. We cover so much more than just this typical tractor operation. We've also included livestock safety. So we'll do an animal handling unit. And then we also do vaccination training, where we work with how do we safely handle needles and syringes when we're giving those animals a vaccination.
Sounds like you'll cover a lot of topics out there, Angie. And I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but what age group are you targeting with the tractor safety camps?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really 13 to 16 is our target audience. And the whole point of this farm safety camp program, A, is to have fun, right, while being safe and learning about farm safety with equipment. But also it's a certification program. So the U.S. Department of Labor actually requires teenagers who are ages 14 and 15 to actually get a Department of Labor certification from Extension or a high school ag ed program. And so while these kids might be having fun and learning, they're also working towards that certification. So they do have to take a final exam and drive through our driving courses in order to pass and receive that certification.
And what kind of feedback have you had, Angie, from the kids and parents?
Oh, my gosh. Actually, it's ironic. Just this week, I received some.
Oh, there we go again. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So we lost Angie again. Our wonderful equipment here has decided to to go south today. Let's see. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll try and reconnect with Angie. We'll be right back. And welcome to the Train Wreck Show on Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday, July 10th. And Angie, we apologize for the technical difficulties. Thank you so much for being patient.
No apologies needed. Stuff happens. At least it's not on my end. That's what my biggest fear is. So
right.
No worries.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, okay, if you want to continue where you left off, that would be great.
I feel like maybe the radio just doesn't want me today. I don't know. But, yeah, we've had such great – I got some feedback this week, actually, from a parent regarding farm safety camp and how her daughter has really taken, you know, for example, the hand signals. She's using them now with her family on the farm to be able to communicate, and she's helping get their hay equipment ready by doing maintenance and getting ready to start driving that equipment this summer. And so it's had a really big impact, and parents have been awesome to reach out and share with us, because I won't lie, it's a huge program that requires, you know, we've got at least about a dozen extension agents and then other outside volunteers that come and teach. And so it's a really big undertaking. So when we get feedback like that, it really melts my heart, because all of what we're teaching is being put to good use.
That's really good to hear, Angie. And you said you have four locations across the state. So obviously, as you mentioned, I was kind of one of your first groups. And how has, I mean, what, like, have you seen as it's grown? Like, more interest, like, in different topics? Or have you changed that around? Or do you pretty much keep them all the same?
Yeah, so when we go to each location, we usually try and do about three camps every year, and we go to each location, we want to be consistent. We cover the same material, just obviously in a different region or a different part of the state and different extension agents within that area. So we want to be consistent. We want to offer a product that's the same across the state. And you know, the western side of the state, generally, you know, they really reached out and said, hey, we'd like some livestock handling added. And so we added that, and that gets that's in all three of our camps. So we really, consistency is key. We want to make sure we're teaching the same concepts no matter where we're at in North Dakota, because safety is paramount. And whether you're in the east, central, or west, those skills are the same. So it's really important to us to stay consistent.
And Angie, is there anything that you'll do different for next year's camp for the kids?
We try, you know, every year we try, and we always want to improve, right? And we always take the kids' feedback to heart. You know, what are things we can do differently? I think the biggest additions we've done is work with Bobcat to offer a skid steer training. So that's been recent here now. This will be our third year of really tweaking that, as well as the livestock. I'm not sure. Our team needs to meet this fall and sit down and discuss, you know, what's missing, what do we need to add, and kind of take that feedback back from our participants and see maybe where there's a gap and how we can do better, or if there's something else we need to add.
Good deal. Now, hay season is coming up here, so give us a few safety tips regarding balers and mowers when we're cutting the ditches and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, something that got discussed during a meeting this morning I had with our disaster team is hay season also correlates closely with fires, right? And so maintenance is number one. So going through, checking your bearings. Typically what happens in a round baler situation is our bearings wear out. The little metal BBs start rolling around once that bearing is shot. And it doesn't take much for that friction and metal pieces moving around to cause a spark. And so pretty quickly, you can lose an entire baler and if not the tractor, if you don't get it unhooked quick enough. So taking some time, use a heat thermometer, you know, take a break first off and go out and check that equipment, use that heat thermometer, see what temperature those bearings are. If you're starting to notice that temperature increase, that could be a telltale sign that you need to get that bearing checked out and replaced in order to prevent a fire. So those are just some of the fire pieces, but also good general maintenance all the way around, whether you've got a sycamore, haybine, self-propelled machine, making sure you're using that owner's manual that nobody likes to read and open it up. And, you know, what is the grease schedule? Because oftentimes they will tell you after how many hours, you know, do you need to go out and grease the head or grease that machine? Because that's going to be critical to prevent wearing and tearing and friction on some of those parts.
Good pieces of advice there, Angie. You got another thing, you know, we always see around in the summer is mowing ditches. Any safety tips for that too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's definitely mowing season. And so there's a lot of workers out there that are gyro mowing those ditches. I can't stress enough, if it's steep, leave the grass be. You know, there's no reason to overturn or tip a tractor just to try and get that last blade of grass mowed in the ditch. It's really just not worth it. And make sure that, you know, whatever tractor you're using to mow those ditches, make sure you've got duals on or it's got a really wide set of tire, wide base on it, because the narrower your tires are set, the more increased risk of tipping or overturn you're going to have when you're on those steep embankments of a ditch. And so just really, you know, and you don't always know where culverts are or where there's holes. And sometimes shoulders can be really weak. If you're in a area that receives some moisture, it doesn't take much for some of those shoulders to get extra soft and slough off. So just really exercise caution. And the other thing that is a pet peeve of mine, don't just send kids out to do ditch mowing. That bothers me. I mean, this is, you're setting them up in a really steep situation. And, you know, one wrong, you know, if you turn your steering wheel just too much to one side, it you're going to overturn quickly. And so making sure we've got adults in the tractor, and nobody likes hearing this, but buckle your seatbelt. cab windows they're not perfect, and it doesn't take much. Once you overturn, you can quickly be thrown out of that vehicle, especially, you know, if you're meeting traffic and someone rear ends you, hits you. It doesn't take much to launch somebody out of that operator seat. So wear that seatbelt. It's critical.
A lot of it just sounds like common sense, but sometimes when we're in a rush, you know, we forget about the common sense things that we normally would do. That's for sure. Now, we've had one heck of a severe weather season across parts of the state. Some areas have gotten hit pretty hard, Angie, and some have escaped some of it. But what advice would you have for safety-wise for folks cleaning up from the storm damage over the last 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, Emma and I were neighbors. We were impacted by those storms pretty significantly, and so it's been tons and tons of cleanup. And this cleanup it's not going to end just this year. I can tell you that. And so I think right now what I've seen is a lot of producers, they're getting family members to come out and help start taking down trees out of, you know, fallen trees from shelter belts that have landed in the crop field. And so you want to get that out because you don't want any of that in your combine header. That can do some severe damage this fall. And so my biggest advice right now is respect a chainsaw. I mean, if you're not comfortable operating one of those machines, you know, have somebody that is comfortable, because it's one wrong move and you literally can do some severe damage to your own body and stuff. So just make sure you know what you're doing. And if it's a job that's above what you can handle, it's okay to admit that and maybe hire a service to come out and help, because they're trained, they're professionals in it. It's not worth somebody or one of your family members getting, or workers getting hurt trying to remove, you know, those trees and get them cut down. So that's from a tree standpoint, I can't stress that enough. And also, taking breaks. I know that sounds really trivial, but as you've mentioned, it's a little warm, and so just making sure you pace yourself, stay hydrated. Luckily, there's always tomorrow, and so give yourself a break, pace yourself. You don't have to get everything fixed or corrected all in one day. You do the best you can with what you have.
And Angie, let's say over the last 20 years in terms of farm safety, have things improved? I would hope they've improved. And is there any one particular part that we really need to focus on more?
Holy smokes, that's a big question.
We got plenty of time.
I would say, of course, on the equipment side of things, I think we're leaps and bounds ahead. You know, we have tractors that actually have rollover protect, you know, ROPS bars now, whereas back in the day, that wasn't the case. They were coming off the assembly line either without a cab or without any rollover protective structure. So we've really, I think all of our equipment has really grown when it comes to safety features. The whole kicker is, though, is, you know, the human side of it, right? You know, oftentimes no one likes to admit this, but it's human error. And so how do we make sure that we're using the safety features that this equipment has, and instead of disengaging them or trying to get around them? And so what biggest improvement? Oh, my gosh. Not one thing comes to my mind other than, I think, you know, you're talking about haying season. I look at some of the first balers, that round balers that were ever manufactured, and my same with combine, you know, my goodness, they were death traps. I mean, if a lot of people, believe it or not, lost their legs in the first round balers that came out, because guys would try and kick the hay into the windrow for whatever reason, and those pickups stick out so far that it would take their leg right with it when they tried to kick product in. And so I think a lot of the equipment design has really, really improved and changed. But the other thing that's made it more tricky is we're operating at really, really much higher speeds. You know, a lot of this equipment is now 1,000-shaft PTO, big 1,000-shaft PTO, and it's just operating so much faster. It needs more torque to spin, and we have way more moving parts. So I think there's a balance with it. Yes, the new technology, I think, has helped, but then it's also created some different safety concerns that we need to address and work with.
Good points, Angie. So I'm just going to kind of roll into the future here, but coming up with harvest, I think it's going to be a very stressful year. A lot of guys lost storage and stuff off their farms, so you want to just talk a little bit just about kind of harvest safety and kind of what to look for coming up this fall?
Yeah, absolutely, Emma. You know, I briefly mentioned it earlier. There is so, in our neck of the woods, there is so much debris out in those fields right now. I mean, there's irrigation pivots, there's crushed grain bin roofs and grain bins. There's a lot of product that's out in the field. And so I think one of the big safety things we're going to have to be mindful of is, if it didn't get picked up out in the field now, while you can still see it, we're going to have to be mindful of knowing where it's at when we're starting to harvest this equipment, because that's going to have some damaging effects on combines and tractors, you know, that are out there harvesting. So that's something to keep in mind. And then, of course, combines, you know, whether we like to hear it or not, they're notorious for starting fires. There's just so many moving parts, and combines of today have so many electrical components that it just doesn't take much. If a shortage happens pretty soon, you know, something causes a spark and boom, we've got quick fire. And so making sure, if that happens, the biggest advice is call 911 so you get a fire truck out there as soon as you can. So that way they can start mitigating and prevent that fire from spreading even further if possible. And, you know, this is going to sound silly, but, you know, the research that I do with Sanford Health really shows that falls from combines or tractors are one of our top injury types within the upper Midwest. And so really making sure how we get in and out of the cab, you know, always having 3 points of contact and climbing out of the cab the same way you climb in, which is face forward. You don't want to climb out of, exit the cab with your back to it, because you're more prone to actually falling off the steps when facing that direction. So I know it sounds silly, but really just being mindful of taking our time, using the full step and climbing in and out of that cab correctly to prevent that fall injury.
Great. Well, Angie, thank you for joining us today and bearing with the technical issues. We appreciate your patience.
Not a problem. Always happy to join the call.
And if anybody needs to get a hold of you, if they have any questions for you, what's the best way?
Yeah, they can certainly email me, angela.b.johnson@ndsu.edu, or call 701-231-1873.
All right. Thank you so much. And when we come back, we're going to talk briefly about a weather phenomena that happened last night in Fertile, Minnesota, and also in Pillsbury, North Dakota. What was that weather phenomena that's rather rare? We'll let you know coming up after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday afternoon. And something that doesn't happen often happened last night, not only in one, but two places, Fertile, Minnesota, and also in Pillsbury, North Dakota. We had a weather phenomenon called a heat burst that doesn't happen often. And what happened? So in Fertile, the temperature rose, and this is at 3 in the morning. It was at 72 degrees, and by 3:40, the temperature shot up to 93 degrees, with the dew point going from the upper 60s to the low 40s. So the question is, how in the world does that happen? Well, we had thunderstorms across parts of the area. We had some out around the Pillsbury area and also in the Fertile area. And what happened was, as these thunderstorms collapse, all the air rushes out of these thunderstorms when they rapidly collapse. And when you compress air warms. So when you're shoving air out of a thunderstorm, it hits the ground, spreads out, and bam, your temperatures will shoot right up. But 20 degrees, 21 degrees, in a matter of 40 minutes. It doesn't happen often. So.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's, definitely something that you don't see around here very often, and it's obviously only in the summertime. But yeah, if you're wondering about that, I know there's been a couple of things online about that. So when these thunderstorms kind of collapse and you get that compressional warming, bingo, you get a sharp rise in temperatures. So other than that, it's a pretty quiet-looking forecast for the most part. There's still a few showers right now in the far northern valley, northwest Minnesota, Thief River, down towards Red Lake Falls, a few remnant showers and a few embedded thunder showers as well. Those are going to stay to the north of the FM area, and we'll see sunny to partly cloudy skies for the rest of the day, with temperatures, depending where you're at, northern valley, upper 70s to low 80s. The central and southern valley, we're looking at upper 80s to low 90s. A good bet for showers and thunder showers tomorrow, and then a beautiful weekend with highs around 80 Saturday and upper 80s on Sunday. So for Emma and myself, we want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.